The psalm this morning is Psalm 34, 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around them, that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Desire to gather around your word. We pray that you would be with this group here today. Give us fellowship, give us strengthening to go forward and be with everyone, wherever they're at in this world. Pray that you would strengthen those who are seeking your will, trusting in Jesus, and for those who have not heard about Jesus or not yet been able to believe, we pray that you would help them to believe, and continue to believe in Jesus and the salvation that he has provided for us. We have so many things that you've given us, we can't even count all of our blessings. We pray that you would open our eyes, help us to see what you are, what you've done for us, and that we would gladly go and live our lives to your glory, to be a light in this world. Be with the speaker here this morning, open his mouth, and also that that message would apply to each of the hearts here. Strengthen us.
May the grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you by God our Father and the Son, our Lord, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the indwelling Holy Spirit on this day and hour of worship. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and go to the Psalm 119. And we'll read from verses 25 to 32. And it's the letter of the psalm is Daleth. This Psalm 119, there's 22 basically letters of the alphabet. And each letter has 8 verses. And Daleth is the one that I'm taking. It's verses 25 to 32. So we'll read that as in Jesus' name. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. The letter Daleth, which is the fourth letter of the alphabet here, means the door. So generally, if it's meant to be the door, it's a door into something. But it also means a sense of a weakness or a need of help. A person that is bent over, broken, and is desperate for God's help. I believe, and this psalm is written by David. There's, I believe the whole psalm is, but there's many who feel that it's not David, it's somebody else. And it's one of those things where it seems like through time, history, it seems like... you have our forefathers had a memory of this text in 119, and it seemed to be from David. And then it changes over time because somebody says, no, it's probably from Ezra or it's from somebody else. But I do, unless there's absolute proof, unless the scroll is found or a new scroll is found, I tend to look towards the original text. It's kind of like if you had your grandfather told you a story, and the story he told you personally, and then you heard the same story from your dad, and it was different. It wasn't as detailed, it wasn't as accurate, things were missing. And I think that's what happens, because since the fall of Adam, I believe everything has broken down, has declined. I think intelligence has declined. I think you take every aspect of life. I don't think when it talks about Noah being meek, he's probably the meekest. When it talks about Solomon being the wisest, except for Christ, he was the wisest. So when the Psalms were written years ago, I do believe they probably got it right with David here. And that's just my opinion. I think the greatest carpenter that ever lived was Noah. I thought his intelligence, the ability to build a ship on the greatest storm that never sank, I'm sure he could show some carpenters today how to build something. Because he did it by the direction of God. Although science has improved and technology has improved, I'm sure Noah would be able to, being the craftsman he was, by God's design, would be able to teach us a few things. So when we look at history, there's sometimes history is tainted, but at the same time, we've got to realize that we live in a fallen world, and it's not going to get any better. So I really feel that this is David. So that's the lens I'm viewing this from. That David is basically wrote this text. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Sounds like a place where he's needing some help. Cleaveth to the dust. Defeated, downcast, miserable. What is he focusing on? He doesn't really say. Is it sin? Is it fear for his life? Is it the weights of life? Is it a heavy heart? It's not clear, but you're cleaving to the dust. It seems to me it's downtrodden, focused on something that is not of hope, not of a bright future. You notice that he's pointing out the fact that the dust is what he's cleaving to. Well, that was the curse of Satan, the serpent. He was the one that was sent. He was told, "By on the dust of the earth you will remain." You were a serpent, but you were become a snake, basically. And this is the feeling of somebody that is down, that is a victim, that has been persecuted, rescued again, but is a victim. But notice who this person turns to. Someone that answers his call. Quicken. Quicken thou me according to thy word. He's speaking to God. Take me out of this place. Take me from this despair. Take me from where I'm thinking, my thoughts, my anxieties, my worries. Pull me from that place. Why does he automatically go to the word? Well, the word was with God. The word is God. And David had experienced this in life. In times when he was afraid, he turned to God. In times that he celebrated, he turned to God. In times that he was almost dead, he turned to God. In every aspect, he turned to God. Why? Because there was no answer there? No. Because the answer was there. Is this what God is allowing in my life to make me better? Is this happening, this circumstance, this way I'm feeling? I don't want to feel this way. I want to be more uplifted. I want to be a joy. I want to be at peace. I want to be alive. I want to be able to go in and out of the door and find green pasture. I want to be able to celebrate the wondrous works of God. I want to be able to speak of Him. And when we see this, we understand a little bit more of what this text is about. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Where is that in the Psalms? The 105th Psalm, 1 to 6. I want to be able to say these things. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all the wondrous works, of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham. Notice, seed of Abraham. The spiritual seed of Abraham. His servant, I'm his servant. Ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commandeth to 1,000 generations. That's what I want my attitude to be, David's saying. But I'm focusing on where I'm at. My thoughts overcome me. I'm in a place where I don't necessarily need rescuing. I don't necessarily need to be persecuted because Job's friends weren't the best. I need to know how I'm growing through what's happening to me. Can you help me see this? Make me understand the way of the precepts, so shall I talk of the wondrous works. Like, make me understand of the precepts, so I talk of his wondrous works. Is this his wondrous works? Is this what's happening? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. That's in Psalms 80. In the same psalm, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us. And we shall call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I don't want to be rescued if this is necessary for your glory, if this is necessary to make me better. I don't want to act like a victim so that anybody that comes and talks to me and they're in a good mood and they come to talk to me and they're all of a sudden mourning because of the way I react and because I'm down in the dust. I don't want to be that person. I don't want the advice that Job's friends gave him. Well, if you would have done this, this wouldn't have happened to you. I don't want to be persecuted. All three of those things are victims. The persecutor, a rescuer, or a victim himself. They're all victims. And David is saying, I just want to see you for who you are And I want to raise you up in front of everybody and proclaim your word and your wondrous works. But I'm suffering right now. I have some issues. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Again, your word is what strengthens me. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I don't need to be influenced by people who lie, because it influences me to lie. Grant me thy law graciously, thy statutes, thy precepts. Notice how he words this. The law is perfect, converting the soul graciously. It's applied through grace. David is asking for an enlarged heart here. He's asking for a heart that is overflowing with grace so he can share grace to his enemies. So he can talk and speak to his enemies and they can hear him because they see the love of Christ in him. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have laid before me. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John 3:24. The hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Show me how to worship you. Well, you worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth of the word, the spirit of God. It's very, very charitable. It shows your charity towards others. In the 13th chapter of Corinthians, it talks about charity very much. And it talks about a heart that is enlarged with grace. It doesn't say it there, but it's basically what it is. And the words of Jesus come to mind, I can do nothing except for my Father. How much more can we do nothing except for that Holy Spirit that indwells and guides? We can't look at an enemy and offer grace if all we see is their sin. All we see is their sin. We can't favor them, listen to them, have a heart of compassion, be merciful, if we always see their sin. If we see their sin, all we can do is judge. Guilty. And David is recognizing, even though the law is pure and holy, converting the soul, it's the grace of the enlarged heart that's full of grace that is capable of doing that. To love your enemies. To love them that despitefully use you. To love them that without grace it is impossible to love them. With grace it is so possible. So when you're down in the dumps, into the dust, cleaving to the dust, because life has given you a curveball, swing because grace is sufficient. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 gives us some examples or an idea of what David is talking about. It's speaking to a minister, but it's speaking to all the priests, really. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice what it's saying there. Have the word on the tips of your tongue. Be able to proclaim it in season and out of season. In a time when it is necessary and in a time when maybe it's not necessary. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. But you don't stop there. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Long-suffering is the grace. It's the enlarged heart that has grace. And he says three things. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I will run the way of commandments, of thy commandments. I will. How is it possible? Well, it says, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. It is only possible with a heart that is enlarged. Full of grace, mercy, and peace. Full of joy. Full of abundance, full of thankfulness. A heart that just overflows with the fact that you're his. And you will remain his because you're sealed until the day of redemption. He's the author and finisher. And what did David do? What was the influence of David that would give him to think the enlarged heart is necessary? Believe it or not, his son, Solomon, in 1 Kings 4:29. Of all people, you would think Solomon, the one that had 300 wives, 700 concubines, basically was vain above all vanity, and he did everything. But one thing he did say is, in the matter of it all, when God says, jump, jump. When God says, do something, do something. He had an understanding of who God was and is. The 29th verse of the 4th chapter, Solomon was praying for wisdom. He wasn't praying for riches. He wasn't praying for any of that. But God gave him all. But this verse, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as to the sand that is on the seashore. That's how large his heart was. And for 20 years, from the time he was born to the time he was 20, when David died when he was 70, he saw his son grow and grow and grow. And he saw the largeness of his heart. He had an example, his son. And that example could only come from God. And David here is looking, and he's wanting to see his heart focus on grace, full of grace. If we look at the enlarged heart, what is an example of it? I mentioned it last week. The Philippian jailer. You can also look at the Ethiopian eunuch as an enlarged heart. Why can't I get baptized? There's water over there. Being an outcast. You think of how much strength it would have taken to him to ask that question. Being an outcast, a eunuch. His heart was overflowing with grace. I should be able to get baptized just like anybody else, because he saw the grace of God personally. It is impossible for us to love our enemies without our heart being enlarged and open to the fact that they are sinners saved by grace, or the possibility of them being saved by grace. It's impossible for us to look at somebody and love them who we think are wicked, we think are against the Word of God, and at the time they are against the Word of God, propagating sin, promoting the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is impossible without an enlarged heart to forgive them or even share the gospel with them and have it make impact. If you have grace and your heart is enlarged, you will have passion, compassion, you will have mercy, you will be able to have the conversation that nobody else can. Because God's placed you at that time with that person so that they can hear and be changed. Because God seeks the saints. The lady that was Elijah, when the lady came, when he was eating at the brook where the ravens were feeding him, and the lady came. What was the purpose of the 3 years, the drought, the whole thing, for one lady to be saved? God seeks his own. He comes and he has a purpose. Do we have grace? Do we have a large heart? Do we have compassion for our enemies? If you do, God will use you. If you don't, God will use somebody else. But that saint will be saved. It's a matter of David asking. He's in a time of his life here where he's having a very difficult time. But he doesn't forget who to turn to. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have chosen the way of truth. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You gave me a son for 20 years that had an enlarged heart. I should learn. Help me learn to have an enlarged heart so that I can talk to my enemies and share with them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with compassion, with honesty, with integrity, with boldness, with confidence, and in a way that hits the mark. That's his prayer. That should be our prayer as well. There are many in this world. Many that do not believe in Jesus Christ. I think 5% is high. if the Christians had enlarged hearts like David is seeking for, you would think it would be 95%. Because the love would be overflowing. The understanding would be, I've been there. I'm the chief of sinners. Except by the grace of God go I. And you'd be able to explain that with love, mercy, and peace. And you'd be able to have a conversation that will hit the mark because your heart has been enlarged by the grace of God to do his work in his kingdom so that he can be glorified and so that the saints can come into the sheepfold so that the bride of Christ can be finished and so that the bride can be presented to his son in eternity. And Jesus comes back. We're all in heaven. And boy, things will be great. There's many saints to come. And that's why we're here. To preach, to teach with an enlarged heart. May we have that day by day by his grace and his honor. Let's continue with the next hymn and communion.